It's Tuesday, the 21st of November, and it's time to get your gaming grin on with the Game Grin Grin podcast. I'm your host, Ace, and I actually meant to rewrite this at the start of this, because apparently in German there is a saying that it's rude to introduce yourself before you introduce the other people you are with.
Hey, at least we're not in Germany, then.
That happens in Colombia, too.
Yeah, there's something called burro al frente, which is basically the donkey in front. So, you know, congratulations, you've been a donkey for a lot of years.
That's why you have no audience from Germany.
So what explains our massive Peruvian and Chinese audiences?
Well, they are just stealing our voices for their AI.
They have no manners?
Are you implying that Peruvian and Colombian is the same thing?
How
rude of you, Ace.
And joining me, Artura.
Hey, everyone.
Aaron.
Hello.
Girls and girls.
Hi.
Pej.
Howdy do.
Spooky.
Hello.
And the Jackman. First time podcasting.
It's me.
Like every person who's on the podcast for the first time, you have to make a speech.
Oh, yeah.
Speech.
I would like to thank our listeners for tuning in. And that's it.
You can't make it. Wow.
So brave.
Right, since we have so many people here, we'll go for what's everyone playing. Let's start with Artura.
Naruto, that's it. You can move on since you didn't want me to go so long.
Oh my God,
I mean, saying the full title will be half of your time.
Which out of the 50 Naruto games?
Excuse you, there's only 8.
Hey now, there's lots more than that. You're forgetting about Path of the Ninja 2 for the Nintendo DS.
Damn it.
There's probably like Game Boy Color games, even though it was after Game Boy Color.
You're all like you already started the podcast, or I would have already left again. It's 3 times you've made me leave in rage now.
So I assume you are loving Naruto.
So here's the thing. I've actually quite liked it, but it's just so bad. Like, I love the anime, I love the other games, and comparatively, and even just individually, Naruto Explorer Ultimate Ninja Storm Connections is just bad. Like, horrible. I had to play online in a ranked match against a person who is disconnecting, like, every second. So it was, like, the most anticlimactic fight ever. And then there's all the people who use the simple controls, and then the history mode is terrible. I'm so angry, and yet I played it for like 10 hours in one day.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, Aaron, what have you been up to?
I've been playing Fate Grand Order, as always. I was playing Talisman semi-recently. I imagine some other people here are going to talk about that, too. That was fun.
Never heard of it.
Around.
And I also just completed my last achievement in Ace of Words, which is an awful, awful, awful anagram game that you should never play. But at the very least, it has Ace in the title.
Game of the year.
Yes.
best game. 100 out of 100.
Well, so long as you're enjoying yourself. Girls and girls, what about you?
Oh, what didn't I play? No, I... I was playing some Hunt Showdown last night.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't... I quite enjoy that game. Don't play it nearly enough, because I don't know many people who play it.
I assume that's better with people you know rather than randos?
Yeah, it's... I mean, if you play just on your own, it's like trying to win and please your team at the same time. And if you just play with people you know, you can just relax, and if you mess up, you mess up. It doesn't matter much if you win or lose, you just try to have a good time. My impression of the game before I play it was that winning would be much more important, like would be really frustrating. Because it's a very competitive game, but no, I think it's more about the journey.
Beautiful.
That's actually really nice to hear.
Ej, what about you?
I've been playing Back to the Future, the Telltale game.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. First time playing it. I rewatched the trilogy recently. It's some of my couple of my favorite films, and I've finally, like, I've had the game for a long time, and I thought I should play it. And yeah, it's good. I like it.
There were actually some comics released that's adapted that game and then carried on from there.
Oh. Oh, yeah, okay.
They were pretty good.
And they go like the multiverse of Back to the Future, right?
Yes, actually, that's... yeah.
Oh shit, I didn't know, but I was just making a joke that every single franchise now goes to the multiverse.
Well, without spoilers, you're not wrong.
Isn't that technically a spoiler?
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Well, you don't know in what way it's going to do what Gore said.
There's like 50 different Doc Browns. One of them is Reboot the Doc Brown, played by, here's modern actor's name, James McAvoy.
It's confirmed that Gore is with us here.
I mean, at this point, one needs to be David Tennant.
Yeah,
but we're not here to recast Back to the Future. Speaking of Marty, the voice actor in the game, I thought, did a pretty good impression.
Fantastic, yeah. He sounds pretty much spot on. I saw a video about the casting, and apparently he called up Telltale offices in character as Marty McFly. And, like, yeah, just spoke to them as Marty McFly, being like, oh, you know, I'm not going to do the impression because I can't do it. But, yeah.
Do it.
No.
I'm going.
No. Oh, I'm not going to humiliate myself with a bad Marty impression.
Right, Scott!
You humiliate yourself in other ways.
Hey, dudes, I will jump on my hoverboard and glide over there, y'all.
Y'all? Yeah.
Are you sure you're going to do that? You seem too chicken to do it.
My favorite bit in the movie is where he's like, it's Martying time, and then he Marty's all over the place.
Okay, Spooky, what have you been playing?
I've actually been playing Alan Wake 2. I tried to play it throughout the weekend, hoping to finish it, and it turns out that I played it for 2 days straight, and I barely got through the beginning. I'm a huge fan of the first one, but the second one has been a little bit disappointing, not gonna lie. The graphics are absolutely gorgeous, and the characters present are super great, but there's just, like, a lot of nothing. It's just a lot of walking around and a lot of not fighting. And when I do fight, I constantly forget which one is the dodge button, because I don't get to fight that much, so I keep clicking the wrong one, and I'm so stupid.
The game has Sam Lake in it. What else do you need?
I totally know who Sam Lake is.
I would assume you need Alan Wake.
Alan Wake?
No.
Alan Wonderlake.
Sam Lake.
Fun fact.
The nemesis of Alan Wake.
Is it Mr. Door? Actually, don't tell me.
He's a guy that played Max Payne in Max Payne 1, and he's also the writer of, like, all of the Remedy games.
He's the one that does the Max Payne face.
Yeah.
Wait, was he also the voice of Max Payne, or was he only the face?
No, he wasn't.
Only the face in the first one.
Are we talking about Agent Casey?
I think he's Agent Casey, yeah. Skinny, dead eyes with a raised eyebrow.
Blonde? I really like that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I love him, and I love the main character Saga. She's great too. I'm liking it. It's just kind of boring, and I get lost a lot, and then I get bored a lot.
Dang. I hope it gets a lot better soon. I'm really enjoying the first one myself.
Ooh, the first one is fantastic.
Yeah, I love the first one. I can't see myself playing the second one, though, because I'm a big baby.
Spoilers. Because you know what? Alan Wake. I'm just a big baby. Alan Wake's all over the place.
It's waking time.
So, Jackman, what have you been playing?
Well, the game I've been playing the most is probably Warhammer Age of Sigmar, Realm of Ruin. And that game has made me realize that I am a big dum-dum.
Only now?
Ow.
Like a bullet?
Ooh, that's a 40k joke. I'm enjoying the game. It's nice to get into an RTS after a long time. The only thing I'm missing is a pause button, which the game does not have, which means I am panicking constantly.
What if there's a knock at the door? What if the phone goes?
Yeah, and just being able to, you know, read the unit description would be nice, but yeah. I'll just smash the nice little guys with hammers and put them against the orcs and hopefully win.
I don't get what's the deal with no pause buttons recently.
I don't know. I think it's to do with just online play, since I know that they're trying to replicate the feel of playing a tabletop war game. But the thing is, if anyone has actually played 40k or Necromunda or just Age of Sigmar, they know that one turn is going to take an hour because the other person's measuring or throwing dice or losing dice or forgetting what the unit does.
Going to the toilet.
Check the codex. You gotta check the codex.
I have played one game of Warhammer 40k in my life. The guy who owns all of the units spent 40 minutes setting things up, and then I had to go home because it was dinner time.
Yep.
That's about as accurate a Warhammer session as any, really.
Sounds about right.
I've been playing, I don't know why, Postal 4 No Regrets.
Nice.
It's very poorly made. It's basically a remake of Postal 2, but in a new place with updated graphics. And yeah, it's no better. I remember quite enjoying Postal 2, but it was certainly of its time. And Postal 4 is of Postal 2's time. for a game that's supposed to be just this funny sandbox first-person thing, a lot of the humor falls flat. It's just not funny today.
Who's your favorite character?
Vern Troyer.
R.I.P.
John St. John. But yeah, anyway, this first section of the podcast has taken over half the podcast so far. So our main topic, given the time of year that this podcast is airing, even though we don't celebrate it over here, it's Thanksgiving.
I mean, I'm American.
It's Thanksgiving in America this week, so we are thankful for getting rid of certain people over to that American place. Anyway, I thought we'd talk about...
What about me?
He's talking about Piers Morgan.
I thought we'd talk about what we're thankful for in video games. Say, a feature that when you notice it in a video game, you're like, oh, yes, I'm very glad that that is a thing in this game. So, Arturo, take us away.
Well, honestly, I didn't fully understand the assignment.
So, Erin, take us away.
All right.
And then Arturo's going to copy you.
That's fine by me. I had a couple ideas. Just steal one of them, I guess.
Just send me a DM.
Sure. I'll do that while I'm talking. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. So then, the main thing that I came to sort of think of this was I'm really thankful for, like, side quests. I think that they're just really cool. They're a great way of sort of, like, exploring different ideas that might be a bit more out there than whatever the base game concept is. And I think that they can really just give the writers and developers and designers and artists license to just do anything interesting or cool that, you know, they might not think would work well in a sort of game on its own, or explore different stories in a world that aren't maybe large enough for a whole game, or...
Have you been playing the Yakuza / Like a Dragon series?
I mean, I had in the past. I've only played the seventh one, but I more mean in stuff like Control, for instance, or Mass Effect and Dragon Age, or The Witcher, even. And, yeah, I love fun side quests. And, for Artura's topic that she can just steal, also just creative solutions to stuff in games from like developer side of things. Like, I love seeing something that doesn't just seem like it's copy-pasted from other games and stuff, like the cooldown mechanic for the guns in Mass Effect as opposed to bullets and like keeping track of ammo. I thought that was really cool, and just everything in Alan Wake with how like the light, the flashlight or torch, I guess, is also the reticle for the gun, and how any light will damage darkness in enemies, and also like even if you don't, not focusing the light on them, and how like there's lens flare that sort of diegetically shows you how much health the darkness has left. I love seeing stuff that feels very unique to a given game.
Two very good things to be thankful for.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Nice choices.
Just out of curiosity, what do you count as a good side quest? Because I'm guessing you don't, in your thankfulness, do you count the side quests out which boil down to get me 5 bug, I don't know, legs?
Not typically. I mean, generally speaking, I would say I prefer, and I'm really thankful for side quests that are their own little stories way. Like, as a good metric, probably like if a side quest is endlessly repeatable in story, then I'm not as thankful for it. I'm not really thankful for it because that feels more like a chore and less like an expansion of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it is like a fairly simple thing, like get these things for this person, I'm still thankful for that if it's like a one-time thing, because then, you know, you can sort of imagine how it sort of links it to other stuff in the world. Like in the first Mass Effect, there's a bunch of those little collect things all around here for different purposes, but each of them has like a point to them. Like you can find like dog tags for like a Solarian sort of special shadow force, and that's just interesting. Old texts from an Asari matriarch. Even don't get to read all the stuff that you're looking at. It's just cool to sort of know that you're not just collecting random bugs or random iron or materials or trash just to have things be done. If it feels like it's actually expanding the world you're in or doing something interesting or cool, I love that it sort of gives the opportunity to make more game that is able to explore interesting and different avenues that the like sort of main story or whatever might not get into naturally.
Yeah, it's a very different thing to collect 5 rocks compared to collect 5 rocks so I can make them into a hammer for you.
Yeah.
Purpose. Thanks, Lynn.
Who doesn't love a hammer?
Look, nails.
So, Artura, have you thought of one now?
Side quests are so fun. No, I'm just kidding. For me, I think I'm very thankful for achievements. Generally speaking, whenever I'm playing a game, I like going for the 100%, and I like being able to really give it my all. And I feel it's very much missing whenever a game doesn't have achievements, because it gives me something to strive for, aside from, you know, play the game, finish it, and then move on from your life, because it makes it feel like I'm actually accomplishing something and I'm collecting something more than just hours wasted on a game. And I'm very thankful for the achievements that are very fun, because there's always the simple achievements like collect 100% of this, or finish every side quest, or get every cosmetic. But I think there's a lot of fun to be had in achievements that are more lighthearted. Like in Haven Park, my wife was playing and there was an achievement for just sitting on a swing. And it's very fun to just randomly do stuff and see those achievements pop up, even if sometimes they're a little frustrating because I'm playing it and I'm like, what's my final achievement? And I have to go and Google and it's just something stupid, like, I don't know, trip on a rock. But it's still very fun and it brings a lot of enjoyment to games that I feel would be missing a lot for me if they didn't exist.
Have you had a favorite achievement? Or like a couple of favorite achievements that you've really enjoyed getting?
I think for me, getting the 100% achievement for Celeste is definitely one of the bigger ones up there, because there's this achievement called One Up. And basically, you have to traverse the entire, a big chunk of the world, collecting some of the strawberries. And you can't collect any of the strawberries directly. So you have to create a train of strawberries that follow you until you have 5. And once you've gotten them all, it gives you a bit of an Easter egg for Super Mario that just gives you a one-up. And what I really liked about it is that I thought that was going to be impossible. But once I played the game and I was 30 hours in and I gave myself the challenge to do it because it was one of the final achievements I was missing, I did it with such ease that it really showed me how far I'd come and accomplished and succeeded at becoming good at the game. And it made it feel really satisfying, especially for a game that's so centered around mental illness and overcoming.
Very cool.
Wow. Yeah, that's great.
Nice answer.
What are your thoughts? Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to move on to the next one.
Then I will shut up.
We can always circle back to things. Goz, what are you thankful for?
Well, first of all, I guess the pause button.
How dare you?
Oh, is that your one? I didn't mean to steal it.
That's fine, don't worry, I've got plenty.
I mean, like, genuinely, whenever I can pause a modern game, it's like, it's a nice feeling, because a lot of games you can't pause anymore for some reason. Like, I don't know, people are doing the Dark Souls or whatever.
Ah, that's why you hate Elden Ring.
No, I like Dark Souls. I hate Elden Ring. No, but yeah, I would love if you could pause Elden Ring. Because it's like, why not?
I'd love if you could pause it and then turn it off.
So, but actually, speaking of Elden Ring and Dark Souls, I played Armored Core from this year, Armored Core 6, and I was so happy that you could pause it. Like, I thought, they're not gonna do that, right? They're gonna do a Dark Souls from now on, and none of their games will be pausable. But no, you can pause it.
Guy, if you couldn't pause it, I would not have gotten as far as I did get before I uninstalled it.
And another big thing that I'm thankful for is when games have focus, where they don't have a lot of extra stuff that's just there to be there to like put on your feature list.
So you hate the thing that Erin is thankful for, side quests.
No, it's different when it's like a feature that's not fleshed out and a thing that actually fits into the game, you know? It, like, I don't know, you could...
Alan Wake does that a lot. Like, they just kind of like get you to go do things just to do things because there has no depth to it or like no reason for it, I guess. It's kind of like what you're saying.
Float content.
Mm. Yes. That's an Alan Wake 2 complete float.
I think like the biggest example for me would be I used to play Warframe years and years ago, and at some point they added a pet breeding system. You could get yourself a dog or a cat, and the system is really, really simple, but takes a lot of time. Like, I don't know, 24 hours or whatever to hatch an egg or something, and you hatch an egg and you get a randomly generated dog or whatever they call it, and you can like get a genetic template out of the dog and like mix it with another template and stuff like that, and it's like 24 hours each time and you can only do one egg at a time. I may be getting the details on 24 hours. It might be 72 or something even. But yeah, it's the system isn't for such a system, for such a simple system, it takes like a lot of your time, and I think they just never developed it further. It's just still there. And I think a lot of my feelings about that game is also that they add stuff like that that doesn't really fit into the greater game.
Well, yeah, I certainly understand what you're saying. Pej, what about you? What are you thankful for?
Maybe this isn't, I guess, an actual feature of a game, but I'm really, really thankful for mods. I guess like a lot of developers kind of help by releasing mod tools and making their games on engines that are easily moddable. But it's just such great to be able to play a game and then like look into it a little bit more and be like, oh, it's got a Steam Workshop and it's full of extra stuff I can download for it. Or it's got a bustling Nexus mods page where I can download, you know, like hundreds of hours of extra content for it made by like users, by other users. And sometimes I just even have fun just going through all the mods and downloading them. Half the time I just download mods and I don't even play them. I'm just like amassing my little mod collection, which is kind of sad. But yeah, I just like to know that I can expand my games.
Mod now and then.
Yeah, and I love the creativity and effort that goes into a lot of them when they don't have really weird character choices or questionable ethics in their storylines. Like a few Fallout mods that have recently kind of come out.
Have you played Gotham Knights?
No, I haven't.
There is someone on the Nexus mods page for Gotham Knights who just keeps putting Batgirl in just different outfits, but it's not the stock model of Batgirl. Oh, it's a weird, muscular, big-breasted version. It's like, okay, you certainly have a type.
I when you started talking about mods, I thought that you might mention that person. Because I visit the Nexus once in a while to see if something interesting came out for the game, but no, it's just Batgirl with abs.
There is unfortunately a subset of modders and who they seem to be quite popular, those mods, but where they've got some really bizarrely proportioned characters and very skimpy outfits, especially on the Skyrim and Fallout Nexus. Oh god, the amount of ludicrous body shapes and
You should probably avoid Lover's Lab.
Yeah, basically people that try and bring Lover's Lab stuff over onto the Nexus, and it's just like, keep that on Lover's Lab, you know. It's fine, but just, you know, not everybody wants to see that.
And they're completely lore accurate.
Okay, Spooky, what are you thankful for?
I think I would have to go for quality of life things because, well, first of all, my deprivance or however it is that is pronounced makes it really difficult to enjoy some games unless I can like heavily modify the controls. But honestly, it goes beyond that because I played like very recently and I quite enjoyed how easy everything it was to like do. So like I don't even know how to explain it. It's like the developer understood how the controllers could be maximized in like efficiency without making it boring or making it like overly convoluted. And anytime that I play a game and it has like a lot of quality of life aspects with, like, for example, being able to grab things, I mean, craft things while the stuff is in the chests and not have to go all the way to the chests and then get the stuff, or even be able to color or even name chests and all that. I love that. It makes my life so much easier as someone who's, you know, short span, bad attention, memory problems, and decorates.
Yeah, that's a very good one to be thankful for. Jackman, what do you have left after Gore stole yours?
Nothing in life. What I'm thankful for in games is a bit hard to articulate, but I love seeing characters evolve, change, and grow in series. Erin's mentioned Mass Effect, and that's one of the best examples I've seen. Going from Mass Effect to Mass Effect 2 and Mass Effect 3, you can see how the main cast of characters change. Like, for example, Garrus is very different when compared to 1 and 2 and 2 and 3, for example. Some of the characters make big decisions between the games. Some characters find new roles. And then there's maybe the more recent example of Kratos, comparing the old PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3 games to the newer PlayStation 4 title, where he grew a beard and became our dad.
His character growth was a beard.
Yes, that is the only thing that changed.
The series grew the beard. It's just like Star Trek.
Exactly. But I just
serious when they grow a beard.
Exactly. I just enjoy seeing that kind of continuation. Even though it's weird and some people don't like it, I also enjoy it when games that are sequels are not direct sequels, like Dragon Age, where the main character changes. Yeah, you're not the same guy from Dragon Age 1 in Dragon Age 2. It's a completely different story, though you may run into familiar faces and so on.
Like in Dragon Age.
Absolutely agreed there.
What about you, Ace?
Well, the thing I wanted to say that I'm thankful for is pretty simple. Subtitles on by default.
Oh my god, yeah. See, that falls into quality of life. Do you see why it's so good?
Yeah. I played two games this weekend. One was a PSP game, and there's absolutely no subtitle option, let alone subtitles on by default. So every time there's a cutscene, I have to turn up the volume, and it's like, I don't want to turn up the volume because it's going to disturb other people in the room, and I shouldn't have to turn up the volume because the music's annoying. And I've been playing through one of the 3DS Professor Layton games, or the one, I forget how many came out on 3DS, and that has subtitles on by default, and it's just so good having that, the words appear there and I don't have to turn up the volume, disturb anyone that might be disturbed by me listening to things at loud volumes.
I completely agree. I mean, I even have that in movies and stuff. I can't watch without subtitles. And my wife and I have headphones because it's, I don't know, it's annoying to not be able to understand or know what the hell's happening because of bad, like, sound design.
Yeah. Yeah, TVs and movies in recent years have been really stupid with sound design. Like the incidental music to set the tone, just going in the background, except it's not in the background because you can't hear the people talk. Like, why is this tense music going? Why? What are they saying to each other that would make this a tense moment?
I also get that we live with my mom, and she watches so many novellas, and it's always about, like, drug lords and stuff, and they have, like, this ridiculous music. And she just, I could just hear the loud music and then, like, the muttering of the actors. It's just horrid. I need to get her headphones.
Right. Does anyone have another thing they're thankful for that they would like to bring up?
I'm thankful for the friends I've made here at Gangren.
Wow.
So not get the fuck out.
Not including anyone in here.
Oh no.
That sounds suspicious. What do you want?
No, I said you're not the friends I consider I've made at Gangren.
Okay. It's okay, Pej. I still love you.
Aww.
I am also thankful for I guess queer representation sometimes whenever it shows up.
When it's proper representation rather than just, oh, by the way, end credits are coming up. I'm gay.
Yes. Yes.
That's a sequel hook.
Yeah, I would watch that.
I'm pretty grateful for... Wait, crap. Crap's sake, I completely forgot. Wait, let me think about it. I've been thinking about it this whole time. Oh, yeah, customization. I'm, like, a big fan of customization. And it's not even just with, like, furniture and outfits and gender and clothes and everything, but just everything. Like, if I can customize something to make, like, even just menu colors and stuff, I'm in for that.
I mean, yeah, agreed. I spend hours in character customization menus. It's just fun.
Same.
Yeah, I find a face that looks okay, a haircut that looks okay, color it all purple, and I'm done.
No, I get like very serious, and I'm like, this guy's nose tells me that he's gonna be like a huge adventurer, and I was kind of going more for like a bard, so I'm gonna have to find another nose now.
You gotta have the right nose. The nose knows.
Exactly.
I usually get obsessed with finding the right hairstyle.
Especially because games are really bad at making hair sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thankful for good hair.
And that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you, Artura, Erin, Goz, Pej, Spooky, and Jackman.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much, Ace.
And thank you for listening and, better yet, subscribing to the Greencast. Your support means a lot. If you want to hear more from us, listen to our anime podcast, The Pals Anime Lounge, and of course, check out our writings on GameGreen.com. Until next time, game on.